from CBS News Bay Area. This is the Afternoon Edition.
Right now in the Afternoon Edition, fallout growing as former President Trump's coming arrest looms large a day after his indictment. The former president becoming the first ever to face criminal charges. Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Yamamoto.
I'm Elizabeth Cook. Right now, New York and D.C. are on edge. There's enhanced security outside of the criminal court in Manhattan, where the grand jury announced its sealed indictment yesterday. There are also barricades outside of the Capitol in D.C. in case of protests. Bradley Blackburn is following all of this for us.
This is a case that would not have been brought against another individual in this country if his name wasn't Donald Trump.
A lawyer for the former president told CBS Mornings his client is being persecuted politically after a grand jury voted Thursday to indict Donald Trump.
This is an explosive event in a highly volatile time in American politics.
The indictment is sealed, so the exact charges are not yet known, but they are related to payments made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election. And there could be other issues too.
We don't know what's in the indictment, so we could be looking at campaign finance charges. We could be looking at wire fraud, at banking fraud.
Republicans rushed to the current GOP presidential candidate's defense.
This is going to destroy America. We're going to fight back at the ballot box.
While Democrats said to trust in the judicial system.
Let the process go forward. No one is above the law.
The arraignment is set for Tuesday. A law enforcement source tells CBS News Trump will travel here to Manhattan to surrender himself. He'll be fingerprinted and photographed for a mugshot. But as the first former president to ever be indicted, so much of this is unprecedented.
You have Secret Service involved, NYPD, Court Officers Union, so I'm not sure exactly how it plays out, but we'll get through it.
With security a big concern, the NYPD notified all officers, including plainclothes police, to be in full uniform today and ready for deployment.
Now, this is not the only investigation involving the former president. There are Justice Department probes into the January 6th Capitol assault, as well as Trump's handling of classified materials at his Mar-a-Lago estate. A district attorney in Georgia also investigating efforts to overturn the 2020 election results in that state.
And three different stocks with ties to the former president all actually surged today, one day after his indictment was announced. The companies include Digital World Acquisition Corporation, Fundware, and Rumble. All rose in pre-market trading. It's not clear why investors sent shares of those companies soaring.
So if business is booming related to the former president, it may make you wonder, could this actually be good news for Trump? Joining us to go through all of this is Dr. Robert Ovitz, a senior lecturer of political science at San Jose State University. Thanks so much for joining us. So what do you think? Will this be more of a political boost, or will this hurt Trump as a candidate in 2024? What do you think?
Well, I think President Trump has demonstrated that while he was president, he could profit from being president. So I'm not surprised that his stocks are going back up. However, the real issue here is holding someone who is a serial lawbreaker accountable. And I think that this is the right move. It's a very small move. It won't prevent him from running for office or serving in office, but it's the right thing to do. And there needs to be a lot more coming, particularly around January 6th.
I'm curious, though, you know, Trump supporters will use this moment, use this indictment as a rallying cry to garner support for their candidate. But what's the right play by Democrats, do you think? How should they be using this moment to their advantage?
Well, I don't know about using it to their advantage. I think that the Democrats need to uphold federal law and the Constitution. And the right thing to do is for the Attorney General Garland to bring forward an indictment related to sedition. If they do this, they will demonstrate that they are willing to uphold the law regardless of the political consequences. And that's the right thing to do. And we have been waiting for a very long time for that. But it's essential that they respond to the January 6th insurrection.
All right, Dr. Robert Ovitz, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
And we'll have continuing coverage of former President Trump's indictment on KPIX.com and, as always, streaming on CBS News Bay Area.
Okay, let's get the First Alert meteorologist Jessica Burch. We've had a couple of great days on tap, so what's up for the weekend?
A continuation of the same, Ryan. This is great weather to get out there, exercise, take a nice stroll around the waterfront. No matter what you're going to do today, Today is the day to get outside, at least for a little bit after work or at least during your lunch break. Taking a live look outside right now from our Mark Hopkins Hotel Cam, visibility is great all the way out to the Golden Gate Bridge. This paints a great picture. Mostly sunny, some clouds here or there throughout the whole Bay Area, where current temperatures are still ranging in the mid to upper 50s. Today, we will top off mostly in the upper 50s, lower 60s throughout the Bay. But if you have an opportunity to take a nice stroll around the waterfront or even off to the Marina Greens, you can expect upper 50s just around that 3 o'clock hour with partly cloudy skies to continue. We have some changes in the forecast for us this weekend. A light splash of showers around the corner, but I'll time that out for you and let you know where they're going to get hit first. For now, I'm going to send it right back over to you.
All right, Jess, thanks so much. Today is Cesar Chavez Day, a day to look back at the labor and civil rights leader's legacy, especially for farm workers. Chavez led hundreds of peaceful protests, hunger strikes, and boycotts, all to raise awareness and improve pay and working conditions for farm workers. Chavez, along with Dolores Huerta, launched what would later become the United Farm Workers of America. She spoke to us today about the importance of their mission.
Farm workers are essential workers. Now, we think of police and we think of firemen and healthcare workers as essential workers. But when we really realize who are the most essential workers, the people that put the food on our table every single day.
Farm workers in California this year are dealing with challenges from all these heavy storms.
In Half Moon Bay, it's not just the flooding, but recovering from the trauma of a mass shooting. The January shooting at two farms left seven people dead. And as Kelsey Thord shows us, many of the survivors and their families lived at their workplace and are struggling to find housing.
It's been a dizzying past few months for the families of those killed in January's mass shooting in Half Moon Bay. In addition to the grief of losing a loved one, many were not able to return to their homes after the shooting and have been bouncing around different hotels and Airbnbs ever since.
It's hard. It's very hard out here in the coast, especially with there's not much low-income housing. There's different types of housings out here, and it's just hard overall.
Vanessa Rodriguez works for ALOPS, the local nonprofit that's been at the forefront of getting aid and assistance to these families. She told me none of them felt comfortable talking on camera, but the hardest thing for them all right now is finding more long-term temporary housing, especially for their children.
I feel like the little ones, it's very traumatic. I feel like it's something different. They were used to just living on the farm, having everything there. And just moving on from house to house, it's been a bit complicated for them.
Earlier this month, the city of Half Moon Bay put out this call to the community, asking for help in finding more vacant housing. Vice Mayor Joaquin Jimenez told me it helped.
You know, that's how we found, you know, places, you know, for some of the single farm workers and some of the families, and still looking for more.
Vanessa says they're still looking for housing for many of the larger families.
There's big families and there's family of three to a family of six, so we got to accommodate from all that. So yeah, it's been hard.
The city has plans to build more affordable housing units in the future, but that project won't be done for years. Vice Mayor Jimenez says for now, the community is doing everything it can to support these families and find them some place to stay, at least through the end of the year.
That's just the type of community we are. We are here to support each other, and everybody's trying to help the best way they can, or the best way we can.
Vanessa told me the families do feel that support, but still have a long way to go towards feeling settled.
It's definitely been an emotional impact on them as well as a family. I mean, like, they have them each other to rely on, and now they have ALAS definitely to advocate for them as well, and Coastside Hope and the city. We haven't left them alone, but of course it's something that they have to deal on their own at the end of the day once they get home.
That's why Vanessa says it's so important these families have a place to call home.